run a gold thing. San Diego Padres. I'm running gold thing. I'm running gold thing. It's never the same. Dominic and James Pa's game's always the same. This ain't your grandpappy's team. They changing the game. Seventh inning, start the rally. They changing the game. Fernando, Tatis, going yard hitting seats. Myers and Machado snatching victory from defeat. Hosmer says we're nasty, now the world about to see. They call it Slam Diego, now the world about to see. Please don't think we them same old Pa's, Pa's. Trading players and lacking stars. Please don't think we them same old Pa's, Pa's. Trading players and lacking a Brown and Gold thing. 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 San Diego Padres.
What's going on, Padre fans? Welcome to the East Village Times Padres podcast. I'm your host, James Clark, and with me, as always, is Mr. Dominic Stern from ASU. What's going on, Dominic? Pretty nice to have a little new intro there from brought to us by Requested, or AKA Kenyatta. Kenyatta's a great guy. Fantastic. He did another intro for us previously when I did the podcast with Patrick. So what's your thoughts on that, man? It's pretty good beat, right?
Oh yeah, it was awesome. And we have been in the process of making that for a long time. You put a lot of hard work into it, and the product is fantastic. It really reignites, you know, the culture that the Padres have right now with all the young, exciting players. And also, like, talking about, you know, how, hey, you know, this isn't the same Padres, and this is the Brown and Gold Padres, and they're here to stay for a long time. And I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, he did. It's, you know, doing something like that was a process, and you know, we were patiently waiting for it, and we're so happy with the end result. He got a little bit of a reggaeton beat in there. So please give Kenyatta some love, AKA Requested on Twitter. Look for him out there. He does a lot of good stuff. Local guy, local San Diego sports type of guy. So, you know, we got to support him for sure. Dominic, the Padres, they're starting to get a little frustrating here, but I know it's early, but I think fans are starting to get a little frustrated. Dropping two from Pittsburgh right away and after the first three games, we saw a little bit of that Chicken Little disease hitting Padres Twitter and Padres fans, as if the world was falling and this team was never going to succeed again. You know, let's talk about it. This team's obviously battling injuries. Austin Nola has not played yet so far this season. It's nice to get Trent Grisham back. There's still some guys in the bullpen that are missing. Obviously, Fernando Tatis Jr. is not participating or has not participated the past few games. Give me your thoughts about this team and where they are right now. They sit at, 9-5 right now? Big series coming up starting today. We're recording this Friday afternoon against the Dodgers, who are 11-2. Talk to me, Dominic.
I actually did not fall under the trap of panicking when the Padres lost the two games to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Because, listen, I don't think Padres fans have fully adapted to what is happening. And what happened was is the Padres were good last year in a 60-game season in which they didn't have to travel any further west than Texas. And they were only in Texas for two games. Other than that, they didn't travel any further than Colorado. So this new road trip thing in which the Padres had to go on the road for seven consecutive games, go to Pittsburgh, all of a sudden, now you're playing without two of your three best players in Fernando Tatis Jr. and Will Myers, and they drop two games. Listen, this is baseball. This stuff happens. And I would much rather see the Padres have these terrible performances against the Pirates and feel like, hey, you have a chance to win in April than have this stuff happen later down the season. And maybe it's because Chris Paddock was pitching the fourth game of the series, and I have far more faith in Chris Paddock than every other Padres fan does because, of course, he's one of my favorite players. But everyone was acting like the sky had fallen. And yes, those two games were ugly and they were really hard to watch. But at the same time, every single team goes through this stuff. And the fact that Padres fans were just acting like the season was over was honestly a joke. And I felt bad. I tweeted, I'm like, what are we doing here? This is embarrassing. And the Padres turned around and smacked the Pirates the next day. And hopefully they come back today, as we're recording this on Friday afternoon. Not sure if it's going to get released today or on Saturday. Hopefully they come back and can make it two in a row and knock off the Dodgers, because the Padres have lost five in a row to the Dodgers.
Yeah, you know, this is a passionate fan base, obviously. And the team is at the time was sitting three games above 500. There's nothing to be overly concerned about. Obviously, timely hitting and untimely pitching are things that major league teams go through throughout the season. The Padres battled in those two games. I don't know what they were exactly with runners in scoring position, but it was pretty bad. And that just happens. Like you said, this is baseball. It's 162 games. People that are looking at the bigger picture aren't as concerned about small performances like this. And you know, well, let's talk about the series coming up against the Dodgers. Obviously, getting swept by them would be, I don't want to say catastrophic, but it would be detrimental to the future of this season. It would be a bad taste. It would leave a bad taste in the Padres' mouth. So how crucial is it for the Padres to take the series, which is two games out of the three at home, and kind of send a message to the Dodgers? You know, the Dodgers reorganized, restructured their pitching staff so that they'd have their three aces going in these games. They're obviously concerned. They obviously want to put a bit of fear in the Padres, if you will. How big is this series, Dominic?
You know, I mean, obviously these are the biggest series of the year, going up against Los Angeles Dodgers. This is the best team in baseball. It's the reigning World Series champions. It's the team the Padres feel like they're their biggest rival. And the Dodgers, frankly, don't have respect for the Padres. And the only way to get respect is to earn their respect. And the Padres, they didn't take a single series from the Dodgers last year. As close as it felt like, the Padres lost the opening series. They split the four-game series in LA. They lost the final series in the regular season. And they got swept in the playoffs. The Dodgers know that the Padres are a good team, but they still don't have the respect that they should have for how good this Padres team is. And the only way to give them the respect is to earn it. And the only way to earn it is to go out and beat Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw, and Trevor Bauer. Now, is it important that they earn the respect? I don't think it's that important, because in the grand scheme of things, the Padres know how good they are and they shouldn't let a three-game series, you know, decipher the season. But at the same time, the Padres also turn around and play the Dodgers for four games next weekend. So they're 7 games in 10 days against the Dodgers is a lot. And it's going to be important for the Padres to put together decent games, whether that's winning 3, 4, or 5 games against the Dodgers. You got to make yourself look good, because if not, then all of a sudden the Dodgers are going to be extremely confident going in, knowing that, hey, this is supposedly the second best team in baseball and they just can't beat us. And that's not a good thing. That's not what you want. So it's pretty vital. And Bobby and I have said on Devil's Talking Padres, you have to take one. You can't get swept. Like, that is the worst possible scenario. And if you win it, that is so fantastic. Realistically, you're probably not going to sweep the Dodgers. I can't remember the last time the Padres have swept the Dodgers, and it's probably a really long time ago. But the last time the Padres won a series against them was in July of 2019. So it's not too far back and it's not too far stretched. But Padres got to get one. You have to avoid getting swept. And ideally you want to get 2 out of 3. And then if you get 3 out of 3, I mean, we're throwing a parade in downtown again. Let's do it.
Yeah. If they sweep the Dodgers, this place is going to go nuts, and rightfully so, but it might be a little early to go a little overboard. Obviously, I don't know. I think I just don't see a sweep either way happening in the series, but you know, I said that in the playoffs when we prepped the Padre-Dodger series, I didn't think a sweep would happen, and it happened. So it for the Padres, health is going to be a big thing. Obviously, we're anticipating the return of Fernando Tatis Jr. Will Myers and his knee is a little scary. Just being that he's performed so well this year, it's a key member of the ball club that you don't want to see lost. Let's talk about Ryan Weathers starting tonight, which is Friday night, the Friday night game. What do we anticipate from seeing from Mr. Weathers? Do you think he'll be able to make it the 5 innings?
I would anticipate him not doing that. Now, I wouldn't be too surprised. It's his first career MLB start, and he made his first career MLB appearance against the Dodgers in the playoffs, and he recorded 4 outs without allowing a base hit. So encouraging. And he's been good so far on the major league season. I just don't know how deep the Padres are going to want to let him go. I'm concerned about the efficiency of how he's going to be able to pitch, especially against a very disciplined Dodgers team. And if he goes five innings, I would be very, very pleased with that. And I'm not expecting that. I'm expecting 3 to 4 solid innings out of Weathers. And then I'm not sure where they go from there, but I'm excited to see him pitch no matter what, no matter how well he does. I mean, it's his first career start. This is awesome. He's been pretty hyped up, especially after how he performed in getting all the way to the playoffs and making the playoff roster for the Padres in the NLDS last year. So this is going to be awesome. And he's looked really good, especially in multi-inning stints so far. So I can't wait.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. I think today will probably be a bullpen type game. I think that if Weathers gets in any trouble or if the Padres fall behind by too much, Tinger's going to be forced to bring in the bullpen and stop the bleeding. There's a lot of decent arms out there who are capable of doing that, or capable of going multiple innings if needed. It's going to be interesting. I think that they're going to lean heavily on Darvish on Saturday night to go deep into the game and eat up a lot of innings. So it's just nice to be able to see Saturday and Sunday's matchups in particular with Darvish and Snell going against Kershaw and what's that guy's name? The one-eyed pitcher again? What's his name?
It's Trevor Bauer. The reigning Listen, I get people hating him because, I mean, he's become quite the enemy, but he's a really good pitcher. I don't understand why people think he's not good. Like that to me is foolish.
Well, I'm a little concerned about the Major League Baseball taking away some baseballs and scuffing on them. I mean, this is a guy who was very critical about the Astros cheating, very critical about their spin rates. Someone whose spin rate has obviously increased over the years. You can put a lot of that into the fact that he's done a lot of pitching analytics and he's into all of that. But you know, Major League Baseball took some balls from him a couple starts ago that, you know, I don't know if we've necessarily heard the results. They're under investigation, I guess, if you will. I don't know if that's just part of his game, part of his kind of just messing with people. It's hard to put a finger on exactly what Trevor Bauer is doing. He's that type of person. He does what he wants and he's takes pleasure in kind of, I don't know, just being different, if you will. Right. So, are we concerned about him scuffing the ball?
No, I'm not. I mean, that's just all pitchers, you know, you got to do what you got to do to get a competitive edge. And I mean, like, listen, I know this because I have played, you know, if you go into the clubhouse and, you know, you get a little sunscreen and then you just spray it on your fingers, all of a sudden that's more grip. That's more spin right there. Impossible to catch. Like that stuff's really hard. They all do it. I'm very confident in that. Like they all find ways to doctor the baseballs.
It's part of the game. I mean, Gaylord Perry's a Hall of Famer, a known manipulator of the baseball, former Padres Cy Young Award winner at that. I don't know. I'm just anxious to see this series. I really am. It's starting to get to be at that point where the Padres are a relevant team and they are a rival of the Dodgers, whether or not they want to admit it. You know, they might not be their number one rival. That they'll probably always go to the Giants. You know, you can't compete with history, but there is a rivalry between these two teams. There definitely is. And the Dodgers can't deny that fact. I think that the fact that they continue to be that big brother to the Padres is something that irritates Padre fans. It's something that really drives them to prove themselves. And until they beat them up in a season, in a playoff series and win a championship, they always are going to be considered that little brother. That's just the reality of it. Padre fans, you can deny it all you want, but that organization has had a lot of success and they're a storied organization with a lot of history. So, you know, there's just a lot of work to do in San Diego. We're in the beginning stages of this. There's a lot of excitement. I mean, I'm 45 years old. I've never had the excitement about this franchise for now and for the future ever. So there's a lot to be content about. I hope that they can take 2 out of 3 from them this weekend, because that would be really phenomenal for the growth of this organization.
Yeah, just like I mentioned earlier, the respect for the Padres from the Dodgers.
Yes.
I mean, it seems like every other team in baseball has respect for the Padres except for the Dodgers. And quite frankly, the Padres have no reason to have respect for them. I mean, I think that's the general truth. And they took 4-10 in the regular season last year, but that's not enough to gain respect from the Dodgers. They don't care.
No. It's about the end and the end result. That's ultimately what it, I mean, the Dodgers were a couple outs away, one ball game away from being eliminated by the Braves early in a series. Dave Roberts would have been fired. The Dodgers would have probably panicked in some way and restructured their team, but they didn't. They were able to prevail. They won the sixth game. They won the seventh game. And that's just the magic of baseball, that you can be, I mean, Dodger fans can deny this all they want, but at some point last season in, was it game five, when the Dodgers were on the ropes, they were ready to hang and just get rid of Dave Roberts. I mean, he was gone. He was gone. There was not even any thought about it. And things change. And the Padres need to ride that momentum, need to just continue to put their best foot forward. You know, if they lose some games this weekend, they just got to battle back the next weekend and take some from the Dodgers at Chavez Ravine and continue to battle. This is a long, long season. I mean, we're in game, what is this, 14 out of 162. So it's just, this is a long road. But I think that this weekend is going to be just exciting, right? I mean, the national media is talking about this, and that's just something that's really never happened, at least not this early in the season for a Padre game, right, Dominic? I mean, this is fun stuff for San Diegans.
Oh, it definitely is. And, you know, they're buying into it. And the media is trying to push the narrative of the Padres-Dodgers rivalry. Yeah. And that does no good if the Padres can't beat the Dodgers. So the only way to keep that narrative being pushed is for the Padres to go out and beat the Dodgers this weekend. And I hope that's what happens.
Yeah. So let's crunch a little bit more about the series. I know you did a lot of this with the Devils talking Padres, but let's talk a little bit more. I think a positive about the series is the fact that the Padres aren't going to have to see May out of the bullpen. He's kind of rotating as their fifth starter. That was someone who was shut down the Padres last season when he came in relief stints. Any other positives or any other things that you look forward to this series for San Diego or for LA?
I mean, I highlighted both these on Devils Talking Padres. One is that Cody Bellinger, it seems like he's not going to be activated for this series against the Dodgers. Now, we'll see how he feels in a week. You know, baseball is better when Cody Bellinger's on the field, and we would never wish injuries on someone. But at the same time, we can also acknowledge that Cody Bellinger not being on the field helps the Padres. So that, of course, is a good thing for the Padres. It's obviously unfortunate he's on the injured list, but once again, good thing for the Padres. Another thing, Jock Peterson, who has killed the Padres for years, he no longer plays for the Dodgers. He's on the Cubs. So I think that's something that definitely helps. And when you look at the Padres, who have, you know, historically been right-handed heavy, now Blake Snell will be pitching game three of the series, but that's one less left-handed bat in the lineup to kill the Padres. And last year, they've been platooning Jock Peterson with AJ Pollock. AJ Pollock is one of the worst Dodgers to start so far on the year. Now, he's still having an okay season, but that's just how good they've been. But they can't platoon that guy anymore. So now they're riding with AJ Pollock or Zach McKinstry, who's been good, but it's not Jock Peterson, who has killed the Padres.
Let's talk about Zach McKinstry. I mean, what the hell? Zach McKinstry? Like, really? That's what frustrates me about this Dodger team, is that they pull players like this out of nowhere and they perform. I mean, look what they did with Justin Turner. You know, it's frustrating as a Padre fan as because they get so much out of players like this. I mean, McKinstry is not a really highly touted prospect. I mean, we're talking about a 25-year-old, but he's performed well in the absence of Bell. Take a deep breath. It just frustrates me because it's player development. I don't know what it is. I really don't. These journeyman type players come in out of nowhere and perform for them. I mean, what they did with Muncy, you know, I already mentioned Turner. It's frustrating. It really is. Chris Taylor's another one who's really performed well as a Dodger, who's kind of come out of nowhere. The Padres are going to need stuff like this in order to reach the next level. They're going to need players to come out of nowhere to force their hands, to to tighten up their rosters. I mean, Tucapito Marcano has really done well out of nowhere. I don't know if you necessarily want to put him in that category, but they're going to need players like that to come out of the minors. They're going to need journeyman type players like O'Grady to just step up and perform like monsters. Give me your thoughts on McKinstry and what the Dodgers are getting out of him.
Yeah, McKinstry is one of those players that really frustrates me as a Padres fan, because he's a guy that you know, I talked about it all offseason. You know, the Dodgers lost some serious depth with Peterson and Kike Hernandez. And obviously the Dodgers are a really good team, and they have been for a really long time. But what's made them so good has been their depth. And part of me was like, you know, hey, part of that depth is gone now. Like that might open the door for the Padres. Exactly. And then Zach McKinstry just comes in and says, no. Dom, just come on, Dom. You got ahead of yourself, and he's been really good. I don't anticipate him to have a 164 OPS plus for this year, but I mean, if he has like a 115 OPS plus as a utility guy off the bench, that's a really damn good player. That's what Jerickson Profar was the Padres last year. I think that's a name that you should have brought up when you're talking about that. But
yes, but and the fact that they get this performance from McKinstry when they need it, that's the biggest factor, is that, you know, he's not just doing it when they don't need it. He's doing it at a time when they need it, when someone gets injured. It frustrating is definitely the word to use now.
Yeah. It's just the Dodgers. They do such a good job of player development.
Yeah. Yeah. It's frustrating, but we are on the rise. The San Diego Padres are a team of relevancy. There is much to be excited about. Let's change gears. Maybe talk about some minor league stuff, which will begin in a couple weeks. Let's talk about the El Paso team, which is going to be interesting. Obviously, Mackenzie Gore will probably be headlining the staff there. They have names like Jorge Onya. Mason Thompson will probably be in the bullpen, maybe with a closer. Give me your thoughts about El Paso in particular when discussing the Padres minor league system.
I also wouldn't be surprised if Luis Campusano goes there or Double A, but that's another guy. You know, it's going to be important because the Padres, their farm system is no longer like extremely, it doesn't have a ton of depth. So the lower levels, there aren't going to be as many great guys down there. Now there still are, but not as many. So I think more eyes are going to be positioned on the top levels in Triple A El Paso, because you're going to be looking and saying, well, hey, if the Padres have an injury, who can the Padres bring on? And I think that you're going to be seeing guys like Gore there. You know, you're going to be seeing a lot of really talented players up at AAA for the Padres, and guys that would be on major league teams for a lot of other teams.
Yeah, it's this farm system is definitely weaker than it's been in the last 5-6 years. But that's just the fact that the major league team is so successful and is doing so well. And you know, Preller kind of had to empty out the farm system last year with the trades with Seattle and the Clevinger deal. You know, it's just the reality of what we look for forward in this team. Anderson Espinosa is a name that is interesting. I wonder if what their plans are for him, if they will put him at the AAA level or if they'll let him start out lower. I guess the high single A is now Fort Wayne, so maybe he starts there and works his way up. What are your thoughts on Espinosa? I know they don't really want to necessarily push him. I wouldn't anticipate seeing him start any games. Maybe, I don't know. What are you thinking on Anderson Espinosa?
My guess is he'd probably start in Double A, because I mean, at this point, he's been in the Padres organization for a long time. He's 23. Like at some point you gotta try and push him. You don't want to push him too hard, but you gotta try and, you know, say, hey, we want you up here soon. You're a great pitcher, and you put him down in Single A. That's not saying the right message, but you put him up in Triple A. You know, he doesn't have a ton of experience underneath him. So I think that Double A is probably a good spot for him.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, because this was a can't miss prospect. I mean, this was a guy who was going to be a major league pitcher in some sense. And it's just injuries have just been horrible. I mean, back-to-back Tommy John surgeries are something I wouldn't wish on anybody. I mean, that's he's got a lot of courage to come out and still continue to pitch it. At 23, you just got to root for the guy, and hopefully he's able to get some innings under his arm this season, and maybe make a difference next season if he continues to progress. But just an interesting name right now, for sure, for Padre fans to think about. Reggie Lawson is another one who's coming back from an injury. Will probably pitch towards the middle of the season. I would anticipate him probably in Double A or Triple A as well. I think that the Padres are going to be cautious with him. He's still another one who's still 23, a lot of upside. You know, coming back from elbow surgery is definitely something that's concerning. But at the same time, everyone that I've ever talked to about Reggie Lawson tells me about his work ethic and talks to me about his work ethic. And in talking to Reggie as well, you get a sense that he's really motivated. He wants to be a major league pitcher. He wants to succeed. And you know, I wish him nothing but the best. It's a great, great young arm and a lot of upside there. What do you anticipate seeing, or what minor league player are you like excited to see right now? What obviously Gore is probably the big name, Abrams as well, but beyond those guys, is there anybody who you're excited to get a full season of minor league baseball under their wings?
Well, we just talked about it. It was Anderson Espinosa, because okay. He was at one point one of the Padres' top prospects. I think he was the top prospect, and he hadn't pitched a professional inning since 2016 until he got in a spring training game, which was awesome to see. And to be able to see him now go out and pitch on a regular basis, I think is going to be something the Padres fans need to look out for. And I think that's going to be something that a lot of the writers here at East Village Times and other sites could be looking at too.
Yeah. It's difficult to try to predict where these guys are going to land. I'm sure in the next coming weeks, we'll get a better idea of where each and every young prospect is going to go. Taking a look at the Lake Elsinore Storm, since obviously they're the closest team to us, it's tough to anticipate who they will have on their roster. Joshua Mears might be, but being that the Storm are now the low single A, you know, he might start in high A. I don't know. Justin Lang is an interesting name to talk about. And we're talking about a triple digit type fastball guy who could, at 19, it's conceivable that he probably will start in low A and with the Storm. So it's really tough to say. Jagger Haynes is another one who could probably start in Lake Elsinore as well. We'll just have to wait and see. There's going to be a lot of international prospects who are reaching the ages 18, 19 that you're going to see in Lake Elsinore as well. A lot of unknowns compared to seasons past, because the system isn't as deep as it was before. I mean, there's names towards the bottom of the list who people really, quite frankly, don't know a lot about. Brandon Valenzuela is one who might end up in Lake Elsinore as well. 20-year-old catcher who's shown amazing upside for his being as young as he is, a switch hitter. It's an interesting system. I'm thumbing through some of these prospects, and it's really interesting to talk about them because they didn't have a season last year. So it's tough to see which of these guys really jumped up the list and went the extra mile and which didn't, because a lot of their growth and a lot of their working out, a lot of their development was on themselves to do. So, and we're talking about teenagers. So it's sometimes it's a little rough to motivate yourself to go out there in the middle of a pandemic and get your innings and get your reps in. So 2021 is going to be an interesting season. We'll have to wait and see how the Padres minor league system flourishes, but there's a lot of names out there to be excited about for sure. Dominic, anything else minor league related we should discuss? San Antonio is the new AA affiliate, for those of you that don't know. Sad to see the Sod Poodles leave. I don't know about you, man.
Yeah, I mean, it was really sad. And I mean, partly is because of my girlfriend is from Amarillo. So it would have been a really cool opportunity to possibly go out and see her this summer and maybe catch a game or two, but that is no longer the case, at least for Padres players in Amarillo. You never know. But the Amarillo Sod Poodles, Padres Amarillo Sod Poodles will go down as the best minor league franchise in minor league history. One season, one championship. That's a 100% winning percentage in terms of championship. So they'll go down in history. In San Antonio, it's where Padres players used to go for Double A prior to last season. So this isn't too big of a change for like Padres personnel, but for the players who might still end up in AA, it kind of sucks for them that they now have to change homes.
Yeah, you know, Austin Hartsfield did a lot of great work for us last season in Amarillo, interviewing Gore, interviewing Tremelo. You know, it was tough losing his aspect and his coverage of the team. We wish the best for Austin. Austin's still doing his thing. For those of you that are wondering about him, he's in Amarillo as well. It's still he might do some coverage for us during the season if the missions are around or if he's around. So look for that. It's frustrating because the Sod Poodles were a brand new franchise, and it seemed like they were married to the Padres. And obviously, for those of you that don't know how the minor league system works, it's kind of like they're contracted out, and you never quite understand or know what's going to happen with the minor leagues teams. And that's just the reality of it. Fortunately, though, I think the Lake Elsinore Storm are signed for the next 10 years with the Padres or something like that. I thought I read that recently. So as far as those of you that like to travel up to Lake Elsinore and see your Padre minor leaguers, that will still be a thing for the next coming years or handful of years. The Padres are about to take the field and play an awesome game or awesome series against the Los Angeles Dodgers. This is really highly anticipated. I'm getting hyped up thinking about it. All eyes will be on San Diego, this series. Give me some final thoughts maybe on what you anticipate on seeing this series.
Just a lot of great arms going out on the field. I mean, you're talking about Ryan Weathers, who we talked about, but then following him is Yu Darvish and Blake Snell. And then for the Dodgers, I mean, as much as we hate them, you got to acknowledge these are great arms going out for them. Walker Buehler is one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. He's a rising star, and he's been pretty good against the Padres too. You got Clayton Kershaw in game two, who of course is one of the greatest pitchers of all time and has consistently owned the Padres. And then you also have Trevor Bauer making his Dodgers debut against the Padres. And this is like really the first good lineup he's faced in a very long time, because he, of course, pitched in the NL Central last year, where lineups were no other way to sugarcoat it, bad. And I'm excited to see how the Padres can handle him. Would love to see a good Padres lineup outing against that. And I'm certainly expecting the Padres to take one. Certainly hoping they can get two. And if they sweep the Dodgers, the Dodgers fan that lives below me is going to hear all about it.
Yeah, it's a big series for sure. I made the mistake of looking at Twitter right now, and it amazes me that the Dodgers continue to downplay this series and act as though it's nothing.
Well, and did you see the other news when you just checked Twitter?
What's the other news?
That Fernando Tatis Jr. is activated and Tucapito Marcana just got sent down to the alternate site.
All right, that makes sense. Tatis will be in the lineup tonight. That's fantastic. Speaking of shortstops, Corey Seager just reportedly told Jeff Sanders of the UT that it's just another division series. So it just frustrates me. And that's, to me, that's, if I were the Dodgers, I wouldn't do that, because you're just adding fuel to the fire for the Padres, because this isn't another division series. And they should acknowledge the fact that the Padres are a threat to them. They might not be the immediate threat, might not be ready to take them down in the standings, but this is a team that's going to be there in the end of the year. And this is a big series for them. It's just frustrating. I don't know. I'm starting to get fed into the hype, I guess, if you will. I don't know. I respect is a big word, right? I think that's what San Diegans are looking for at this point.
Yeah. I don't think he told Jeff Sanders specifically this, but I think that's just what he told reporters. But yeah, yes. Jeff Sanders was the one reporting on it that,
there you go.
He views it as just another division series. And that's what I'm saying. They have no respect for the Padres. The Padres have to go out and earn it. And whether they earn it this weekend or next weekend or down the line, they have to earn it from the Dodgers. And the only way to do it is by beating the Dodgers. They don't care what the Padres do against the Texas Rangers. They don't care. They care about what they do to us. That us being the Dodgers caring about what they do to the Dodgers. So the Padres got to go out and prove it themselves. We all know what this team's capable of, and they just got to go out and do it. And I certainly hope they can.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Awesome. Let's go. Go Padres right here for sure, man. This is a big series right here, and hopefully they can get hyped up and perform well. I think that's what San Diego's waiting for most of all. Dominic, go ahead and take us out of here. Apologize, folks, for not having a guest the last two episodes. We've been kind of swamped with stuff. We have a guest tentatively planned for next week. We have a couple other special guests that should be joining us shortly. It's just rough when the season starts. A lot of people are focused on many tasks at this point. But we are here. You guys got to check out Dominic and Bobby, what they do every series and every series before. The Devil's Talking Padres podcast needs a little more love. This week they had one of our writers who happens to be a Dodger fan. He covers us, covers the site, obviously in other angles other than Padres, but he's a Dodger fan. I love that Dominic and Bobby bring on opposing fans to kind of get a breakdown of the opposing team, because that's what you want. You can't just sit here and regurgitate your view of what a team looks like. It's nice to get the idea of what they are and who they are from someone else. And they did that this week with the Devil's Talking Padres podcast. Check that out. Sorry, Dominic. I just wanted to hype it up a little bit. I think you guys definitely deserve some love. I mean, no one else out there in Padre land is putting out podcasts every single series. I want you Padre fans to let that sink in. Dominic, go ahead and take us out of here, man.
Yeah, two things. Thank you. And the guys at Friar Talk, I've messaged them on Twitter. They do series recaps and previews. So want to shout them out. Don't want to disclude them. They're mostly on YouTube though. And they're like 10 minute things. Bobby and I, we dive in a little bit deeper, but yeah, they do a great job over there too. And you know, with what Bobby and I doing, recapping every series and previewing every series, we've had the opportunity to talk about the no hitter. James, you haven't had the opportunity to talk about it. So I want to give it back to you before I close it out. You haven't talked about the first no hitter in San Diego Padres history, James.
Yeah, that was, I think I'm still feel surreal about it. I mean, obviously I was home alone, caught the last four or five innings of the game. About the eighth inning, I texted my wife and texted her that thing the Padres have never done might happen. And I think I texted a couple of other people that way. I'm, you know, obviously a little superstitious. I didn't want to mention it. I honestly felt like I'm just waiting for the hit to happen. Going through so many of these, I was just waiting. The eighth inning, he got through the eighth. I'm like, okay, you know, this is going to suck, but it'll be interesting the ninth. You know? I mean, I'm a Padre fan. You know, I'm waiting for the shoe to drop. I mean, this is the ninth inning. Who's going to blow it? I see that the shot towards second base. I'm like, okay, all right, wait a minute. And then I start processing it. He got the second out really quick. You know, he was working very fast, and I don't know, that ninth inning just seemed like it was a blur. Like before I could even register that he's going to do it, there's a ground ball to Kim at short, and I started screaming my head off, literally screaming, cussing and screaming, and tears were coming to my eyes. I screamed out loud. They did it. They effing did it. I can't believe they did it. I get emotional thinking about it right now. It's part of the growth of this franchise, and I'm proud to be a Padre fan. And for Joe Musgrove, a native to do it, someone who's felt the pain that we've all felt, it just couldn't be written any better. Really, it was probably one of the best moments in Padre history, for sure.
Which is kind of sad, but. That's whatever.
It is sad, but
it made, you
know, I look at this franchise and I kind of throw out the first 40, 50 years, honestly. And I look at them as a new franchise now, because they never, ever intended to compete ever, even in 84, 98, and, you know, in 98, they did construct a team to win. They did. But they, in the back of their minds, they had pending free agents. They acquired Brown in a free agent year. They knew there was just one goal: win it all, get voters to approve a stadium, get the stadium approved, and then just stop trying it again. And they did. They stopped trying for 20 years. And I don't know. I get emotional because I love the fact that there's a future. I don't care if they don't win this year, honestly. I don't care if they finish below 500 because I know that I can be proud to be a Padre fan. I know that there's always next year. I know that this ownership will hopefully go the extra mile and will fix any issues that happen. And they will compete next year. They will compete the year after that. They will. We have Fernando Tatis for a dozen years. There's just a lot of excitement, a lot of anticipation of great baseball from this franchise. And I think Padre fans are finally beginning to feel the pride in being a Padre fan. And that's a great thing.
Yeah, well said. And it almost made the 51 years of not having an editor worth it to have Joe Musgrove, San Diego native, do it. And it obviously would have been cooler to have it done at Petco Park, but you know, whether or not you disagree or agree with the full capacity at the Texas Stadium, and I think more people disagree with it, it was cool that it happened in a full stadium. You could hear the emotion of it. Like that itself was cool. Like I said, it's probably wrong that it's full capacity, but at the same time, it was really cool. Yeah. So yeah, and then the Padres just released their lineup for game one tonight against the Dodgers. Grisham, Myers, Tatis, Cronenworth, Machado, Hosmer, Myers, Profar, Cronenworth on the three hole. That is not what I expected, but he's been hitting the ball really well.
Every time I think that he's just going to, okay, you know, this is a 28, 29 year old prospect, or, you know, okay, he's, you know, reality is going to set in. He's just not going to be able to. I mean, obviously, this man is a late bloomer. He continues. I mean, I have a left-hander who stays in there against left-handed pitching is just so valuable. I mean, he's just so impressive, and playing shortstop, playing first, can play the outfield, can play second, can play the guy could throw 95 off the mound if we needed him. He deserves a lot more love, and just continue to impress me, Jake. I mean, that's all I can say. Hitting 358 on the year, lefty, righty, doesn't matter. He just stays in there and he puts the ball in play. And I don't know what else you'd want from a young infielder, outfielder that he is. Yeah, sorry. I had to rant about him because we need to show him some love. I mean, he's just really impressive.
Yes, definitely. And Campusano's catching tonight, so this is his first time catching back-to-back games.
Let's talk about Campusano a little bit. What are your thoughts on him? Blake Snell and him the other day did not seem to work very well together. Snell could not make it out of the first inning. And obviously, we're not going to blame Campusano for that. It's obviously not his fault. But there just seems to be – I mean, we're talking about a young catcher here, so it's a rookie catcher. So it's going to take time for him to figure things out. But I think that Austin Nola is definitely deeply missed by this franchise.
Yes, and there are reports that he's feeling better. But it's weird because Campusano had caught the first two starts for Blake Snell, and Blake Snell looked perfectly fine. They hadn't had any communication issues. And then this one time, it was just weird. And
it's probably more of just Snell just not performing. I mean, Blake Snell has times where he just – the control goes, it kind of, the focus kind of goes from him, and
he's an emotional pitcher.
Yes, he gets out of whack very easily, and I think a lot of his starts are going to be about him competing against himself and performing and getting the best pitch at each and every time that he throws the ball. And Musgrove talked about that after the no-hitter, that's something that he's really concentrated on this year, is battling himself out there on the mound. And a lot of times that's what you do as a pitcher. You second guess yourself. You start to you know, wonder about this, wonder about that. And it's really about competing each and every pitch and executing each and every pitch and not worrying about what happened behind you or what happened at the plate. And Musgrove is definitely matured as a pitcher. Snell is just going to need to develop some of that, and it's not a big deal. The stuff from him is fantastic. I can't wait to see him on Sunday pitch with a little bit of anger, which I'm sure he will have.
Yeah, it's gonna be exciting, and I'm not too concerned about it. Like, it was just one game, but Campusano's not ready. Like there's no other way around it. And what he's done for being a young catcher to be able to come up into the majors and look pretty solid behind the plate for the most part at age 22. And he's hit the ball harder than his stats show. Like he's been a better hitter than his stats are showing, but Nola is definitely better. And when Nola comes back, he'll definitely be optioned.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much a guarantee. And he, as a young catcher, something like this is going to be a positive for him when he goes back to AAA because he had that major league service time. He had that experience. He can help share that with some of his teammates and help motivate him to get to the next level. Big things for Camposano. He just needs a little more seasoning, just a little minor things here and there. And that's just because the game of baseball is difficult. It really is. Dominic, take us out of here. I'm excited. Padre lineup's out. Will Myers in the lineup. Fernando Tatis in the lineup. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to this episode of the East Village Times podcast. Make sure to find James and I on Twitter. I'm at DMStern19. James is at EVT_JClark. I'm sure we'll be tweeting about the game tonight and the games in general. So you want to make sure you give us a follow and make sure to follow us at EVT Podcast. And whenever we release a podcast, follow us at EVT_news to see whenever we release content on EastVillageTimes.com as this is the Padres East Village Times podcast. Thank you all for tuning in to episode 143. James and I, we might come back to you on Monday or Tuesday with a guest. If not, we'll definitely record sometime next week. We thank you all for tuning in. And of course, we're going to end it with the Go Padres.